Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. We rejoice that where'er we seek Thee, Thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. We praise Thee, Lord, that through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the merit of the blood, we can have an entrance right into the very throne room of heaven itself. And we praise Thee, Lord, for our standing in Christ. We praise Thee, Lord, for the love of God in Christ. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we rejoice in the gospel message today. And we praise Thee, Lord, for the Word of God that teaches us the truth of Thy Word and teaches us the truth of the gospel. And we pray, Lord, as we come to consider Thy truth tonight, we pray, Lord, that Thou will draw near to us. We pray, Lord, for our brother Murray, as he will come to preach Thy word. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt fill him with the Spirit of God and with power. And we pray, Lord, that everything that is said and done would be to Thy praise, to Thy honor, and to Thy glory. For we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. We're turning for our scripture reading to the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 13, and commencing a reading at verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin, and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet. I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? And he shall answer, Those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in the land, saith the Lord, two parts shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people, and they shall say, The Lord is my God. Amen, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. I'm going to sing that lovely hymn now. Oh, now I see the cleansing wave, the fountain deep and wide.
I thank Dr. Wilson for leading the service. Could I also say it's a joy to have this opportunity to share with you God's precious word. The psalmist David describes the word of God as a light unto his path. And with that in mind, I want to draw your attention to the opening verse of the portion of God's word that was read a little earlier. We read in Zechariah chapter 13 and in the verse 1, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." During the reign of Cyrus the Great, we find the children of Israel's captivity finally coming to an end. Passing through the ancient gates of Babylon, they began to journey towards the city of Jerusalem, finally entering into her streets and beholding its awful desolation. They immediately began to rebuild the temple. Laying its foundations, they encountered much and strong opposition. Eventually becoming discouraged, they switched their efforts away from the temple and towards their own homes. Building lavish and luxurious mansions, they setting their eyes upon the heathen nations, they then began to interact with them. Taking their daughters to be their wives, their children became idolaters. Being unable to speak the language of their fathers, which was the language of the scriptures, they fell down and they worshipped idols of stone and wood. And beholding their idolatry, Zechariah was unable to remain silent any longer. Lifting his voice, he rebuking their sin. He told them that there was a fountain for sin and uncleanness, a place where their iniquities could be washed away. And while many centuries have passed, yet there is still a fountain for sin and uncleanness, a place where our sins can be washed away. Indeed, centuries later, John the Baptist, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And as well as bearing our sin, Christ is able to bear your sin away, to scatter it as far as the east is from the west. Many years ago, there lived a man by the name of Edwin Rushworth. He was a skeptic all his life. Finally, he resolved in his final days that he would read the scriptures for 1 hour every day. After a few weeks, he turning one day to his wife, he said, "Wife, if this book is right, we are all wrong." After a few farther weeks, he turning to his wife again, he said, "Wife, if this book is right, we are all lost." A few weeks later, he said, "Wife, if this book is right, we can be saved." And believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, he and his wife were gloriously and wondrously converted. And there is a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. Though your sins be as the stars for number, though they be darker than the darkest night, yet there is a fountain for uncleanness. Your sins, no matter their number or their darkness, they can be washed away. They can be forgiven. And so for a few moments, I want to draw your attention to this fountain for sin and for uncleanness. I want you to notice firstly here, it's day. Speaking in the verse 1, the prophet said, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened." The phrase "in that day" is repeated again and again throughout the pages of the Old Testament. It was used by Abraham to describe the Savior's day. In this short prophecy, it appears no less than 20 times. When you go back into the previous chapter, there speaking about this day, the Lord said, "And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced." And the reference there is to the piercing of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And in such we see that this day, that this fountain would be opened, was the day in which the Savior would be pierced upon the cross. You see, the fountain for sin and for uncleanness was opened at Calvary's cross. It flows from the Savior's wounded side. Indeed, speaking of the Savior's death, John records in John chapter 19 in the verse 34, "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. The spear piercing the outward layer of the Savior's heart. There came forth not only blood, but also water. The presence of water verifying he was dead. John later speaking of his blood in his first epistle. He said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." You see, the flow that cleanses the soul comes not from the sanctuaries of man, but it comes from the sacrifice of the Master. It flows from the Savior's atoning work upon the cross. As a young boy of six, William Cowper, the famous poet and hymn writer, lost his mother. Being followed by sorrow and grief, he on several occasions tried to take his own life. On one occasion, a relative spoke to him about the cross, and hearing of the Savior, William Cowper came to know Christ as his own and personal Savior. He later, reading these words in Zechariah chapter 13, and in the verse 1, he wrote the famous hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." And you see, salvation flows not from our works, but it flows from the Savior's atoning work upon the cross. He died that we might be forgiven. He died that your sins may be washed away. However, some sadly, and rather than looking to the cross, they look to their own works, or they look to the example of the Savior. And why the example of the Savior is a perfect example. Yet even if man could keep that example, it could not take away their sin. And you see, if you are ever to get rid of those sins that tarnish your soul and torment your mind, you need to come to the cross. It is there that our sins are washed away. It's not by your works, but it's by the Savior's work upon the cross. But we notice here not only its day, but surely we notice its distinctiveness. Revealing his fountain, he said in verse 1, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David." Underlying there the word fountain, rather than placing it in the plural, the writer here puts it in the singular. In other words, there were not many fountains for sin and for uncleanness, but merely a single fountain. There was but one. And you see, Christ is not only a saving fountain, but he is a single fountain. There is no other who can wash away our sins or make us right in the sight of God. Indeed, Naaman, contracting the awful disease of leprosy, he made his way to the prophet, being told to go and dip 7 times in the waters of the Jordan. He said in 2 Kings 5 in the verse 12, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" There were many rivers more beautiful and cleaner than the river Jordan. However, his cleansing, picturing the cleansing of the sinner, the prophet reminded him here that there was one river and only one river where he could plunge and be made pure. Emphasizing this, Peter speaking after the day of Pentecost, he said in Acts chapter 4 in the verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other." You see, there is no other fountain for sin other than Christ. He alone is able to convict, to convert, and to cleanse the soul. Have you ever gone to the beach and, taking a spade, tried to dig a hole just in front of the incoming tide? It doesn't matter how hard you dig, or doesn't matter how big a spade you take, as you cast the sand out, it quickly fills back in. And it doesn't matter how hard you work, you cannot get rid of your sin. It will just keep piling back into your life. How many tonight are trying to get rid of their sin by their works or by their own efforts? There is no other argument. There is no other hope. There is no other plea other than Christ. He's not one of many saviors. He's the only savior. And if your sins are ever to be dealt with, if they're ever to be washed away, you need to come to Christ. He and he alone can forgive your sin. You need to run to him. He is the only savior. But not only its distinctiveness, but surely we notice its duration. This fountain bubbling up and flowing over, we read in the verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David. A fountain differs radically from a cistern or a pool. While their flow may be diminished by constant use, the fountain cannot. Being fed by deep springs hidden beneath the earth, it continues to flow night and day. It also continues to flow winter and summer. Indeed, in the original, the force of the word opened in this verse means to remain open. In other words, this fountain would flow continually. And from the side of Christ, there is not only a cleansing flow, but there is a continual flow, one that transgression nor time can ever exhaust. Indeed, explaining its wonderful cleansing power, the Apostle Paul, taking up his pen, he said in Hebrews chapter 7 in the verse 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him." And he reminded them that Christ was able to save not only to the uttermost of their sin, but to the very uttermost of time. And while this salvation at times may seem inexplicable, it is inexhaustible. It flows continually night and day, and it's able to cleanse from all sin. The hymn writer, realizing that, he taking up his pen, he wrote, "The blood shall never lose its power. No, never, no, never. Jesus' blood avails for me forever and shall never lose its power." Saul of Tarsus was the chief of sinners. And yet, plunging beneath this flow, it was able to wash away all of his sin. In 1859, over 100,000 men, women, boys, and girls were gloriously converted in the north of Ireland. In the same year in Wales, over 110,000 people were saved. And yet there is still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's still able to cleanse from all sin. You say, "Preacher, you wouldn't say that if you knew my life." But I want to tell you tonight, there's power in Jesus' blood. And if only you come to him this evening, he's able to cleanse you. He's able to give you everlasting life. Also, we notice its design, because he said in verse 1, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened." It was a fountain. The fountain continually bubbling up and eventually overflowing. It forms a brook, winding its way through the rugged rocks. It would not only carry away their uncleanness, but it would carry it completely away. And as if to emphasize that, he tells us in the following verse that he would remember their sin no more. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ not only cleanses us from sin, but it carries our sin away. It eradicates it forever. The psalmist, speaking from his own experience, he said in the 103rd Psalm in the verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." In other words, they and their sin would never meet again. And Christ is able not only to save your soul, but he is able to scatter your sin. In fact, forgiving our sin, he then forgets our sin. He's able to cleanse you tonight, and casting your sin, to cast it away forever. Also, I think we see its delight. We're told there shall be a fountain open to the house of David. A fountain is able not only to cleanse, but drinking its flow, the weary traveler's thirst is quenched. It completely satisfies. And the blood of Jesus Christ is able not only to cleanse you, but is able to content you. It's able to quench that inner thirst. William Martin, an American preacher in the late 1800s, taking up his pen, he wrote, "He fills and satisfies my longing spirit o'er and o'er. Each day he grows still sweeter than he was the day before." And if only you come and trust Christ as your Savior, he will not only cleanse you, but he'll content you. He'll fill your heart and he'll satisfy you. You notice in closing that this fountain was not only to the house of David, but also to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. While the house of David refers to royalty, the phrase "the inhabitants of Jerusalem" speaks of the common person. You see, this fountain wasn't only to royalty, but it was to all in the city, despite the greatness of their sin. It matters not today where you are or who you are. This fountain is open to you. And I wonder in closing, will you come? Will you wash your robes in this precious flow and have them made white? Will you come and drink of Christ's salvation? And if you do, then your soul will be satisfied. There is a fountain for sin and for uncleanness. And I trust you'll come and plunge beneath its cleansing flow. Let us just bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for Calvary. We rejoice that because thou hast died and rose again, there is life for a look at the crucified one. And our prayer would be this time, that if there are those who have not yet plunged, that they will come and have their robes made white and know thee as their Savior. Lord, hide thy word within our hearts. For this we pray in thy name and for thy eternal glory. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.